The Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129 presents Just Love, a conversation on the Church's social mission with Monsignor Kevin Sullivan.
I am Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Welcome to Just Love. This is our weekly conversation about what's going on in the world from the perspective of our Catholic social vision and our Catholic social beliefs. Just love. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. As we gather today, we have only a few weeks left in Advent, which means we only have a few weeks left to celebrate the birth of Jesus as our Savior. So the Christmas season from the world around us is in full swing. And as we do that, obviously, what our world usually thinks about is they think about shopping. They think about getting ready for Christmas and the giving of gifts. And I know that some people can talk about how the world is so secular and it's just material, but I kind of like the giving of gifts. I mean, I like that because it does force you to think about other people. And I recognize the fact that there can be excesses and we can go overboard in terms of that. But I think at the core, there's a pretty nice reality that we are thinking about other people. We're thinking about what kind of might bring a little bit of happiness, a little bit of joy into their lives. But I do have to admit that there is a great deal of commercialism with regard to this town. I mean, some estimates are that retail businesses, you know, can account for about a third of their sales during this time of the year. And that's like a huge amount of shopping and a huge amount of income that they can get during this time of the year. So it is a big time, and there is a lot of commercial retail sales and things like that. But, you know, one of the questions that we've asked over the past in different places is, you know, can we do both? Can we figure out a way to do our shopping and also take care of some of the social needs that we know, take care of the world around us? And so today on Just Love, we're going to be talking about that in kind of two ways, not two ways, but we're talking about it with two people who have given us examples of how it is possible to think about others as we do our shopping. The first guest we're going to have in a little while is Sterling McDavid, who is the CEO and founder of the Stalling Project, which is a candle company. But it's a social good candle company where a portion of the proceeds is donated to provide solar energies in the developing world. So we're going to speak with Sterling about her business and how that business does help the world. And maybe we'll figure out if maybe we can buy a candle or two as part of our Christmas shopping this year. And next, later on in the show, we'll be talking with Scott Tattleman, who is, along with his wife Jacqueline, a founder of State. Now, State is not a country. State is not New York. State is not Kansas. State is not California. State is a company that makes backpacks. And what State does, the company, is for every backpack that sells, a similar backpack, which would be filled with school supplies, is given to a child in need. So that's what's coming up today on Just Love. And thank you for joining us today on Just Love. Tom, before we go to our guest, is there any bit of news that you might want to share with our listeners?
There is, Monsieur. You know, it's interesting. This past week, certainly what we did, one of the things was we commemorated what was the 75th anniversary of the commencement of the Second World War, with December 7th, 1941, which, of course, was the attack on Pearl Harbor by Japan. And when just about 2,400 lives were lost, of course, we remember all the lives that were lost during the war afterward and all the aftermath of that war. And interestingly enough, Pope Francis, for this month, for the month of December, actually has a prayer intention that he wants everyone to take part in, which is sort of related to that. His intention for December is to be the end of child soldiers, where he asked the children soldiers be eliminated from the world over. In fact, he said, in this world, which has developed the most sophisticated technologies, weapons are sold and end up in the hands of children. We must do everything possible so the dignity of children can be respected and to end this form of slavery. And he asks whoever we are, if we are moved, he asks that we join in his prayer intention that the scandal of child soldiers be eliminated from the world over.
So are there a lot of child soldiers?
There are, Monsignor. I was, you know, particularly in the developing world, particularly if you end up looking down in both Latin America and in Africa itself. Very often what will wind up happening in Uganda, children will be kidnapped. And then as part of, I guess, brainwashing, you know, and they're very young, they're like 9 or 10 years old. They're brainwashed. They are made part of armies such as the Army of God in Uganda. It has a very shocking name. Certainly, it's probably the furthest thing from the Army of God. And they give these children drugs, and they give them guns, and they perpetrate violence all over the all over those areas. So again, it's a major problem, and I know it's something that we've looked at before on Just Love, and Pope Francis asks we keep this intention in our prayers.
You know, Tom, I think that's a very interesting thing, because, you know, probably we think about soldiers as people probably in their late teens, in their 20s, who are kind of adults, certainly maybe on the younger side of being adults, but we don't think about children being used to go into battle. And then, you know, periodically we do see those media reports. We see them on the internet. We see them in social media. We see pictures of relatively young 10, 11, 12-year-old children who are carrying weapons and being used in war. So it's interesting. When I first heard that that's what Pope Francis was praying about in December, I said, well, that's a little weird. And then I reflected, you know, because it is something that we probably don't think about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm thinking if we go back a little bit in the child labor laws, you know, for a while we thought it was, you know, okay for children to be in factories, to be working, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. Then we kind of developed our awareness as a world that, wait a minute, hold on. Children should be being educated. Children shouldn't be into situations where their potential is curtailed because they don't finish their schooling, they don't finish their developmental progress, and prematurely they're going into the workforce. And I guess, you know, this is probably, you know, a very different version of that. But, you know, the children who are fighting in wars, who are soldiers, those are people who are really in imminent danger of losing their lives and being cut short. But on the other hand, they're probably being prevented from taking on the educational, completing their education. They also are probably prevented from kind of developing some of the good social skills that they should develop in order to be good, active, productive adults. So,
exactly.
So I'm glad. Hey, Pope Francis, thanks for reminding of us that, and thanks for you know, bringing that to our attention, because it probably sometimes is a little bit out of our knowledge base, or we're not terribly aware of it. So, let's now go to our first guest, who is Sterling McDavid, the chief executive officer, the founder of the Stalling Project, and we're going to talk about Christmas shopping with a conscience. So, Sterling McDavid, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on Just Love today.
Of course. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for including me.
Great. That is wonderful. So, give our listeners a little sense of your own kind of personal background, your history, and how you got to where you are now as the CEO and founder of the Stalling Project.
Sure. So I actually started my career at Goldman Sachs in New York, quite the opposite of what I do now. But I spent a lot of hours working, as you can imagine, as an analyst. And I fortunately had a boss who was very pro-philanthropy. So if you were going to miss any work at all or anything like that, it basically needed to involve philanthropy. And I got very involved with UNICEF from the moment I moved to New York when I was 22 years old. And while I was at Goldman, I ended up having an opportunity to go to Vietnam to work in the field with UNICEF. And my boss, fortunately, let me go. But unfortunately for him, once I went, I came back so inspired and really felt like, you know, I wasn't on the right career path and that I wanted to do something more to give back. And I actually enjoyed my experience at Goldman Sachs. It was certainly a wonderful foundation, but I knew in my soul that it was really not where I was meant to be.
So how much time did you spend in Vietnam, and what did you do while you were there?
So I was there about 2 weeks. We were in all different areas, very rural. And we spent some time with people working on different issues, but I came across the solar panel which was powering some pipes for clean water. Some people forget that it can do more than just provide light. And I was very inspired by that. I'm from Texas originally, so the energy business was kind of always in the back of my mind, but sustainable energy was of interest. And I came back from that trip really going, what can I do to help these solar energy programs?
So then you came back and you told your boss, I'm quitting.
Correct. He was sad, but he understood that there was a greater mission. And fortunately for me, he's been very supportive ever since, along with the rest of my team.
So after you left there, then what did you do?
So I actually decided to go back to school. I went to Parsons to study architecture and design, as well as some product design, because I thought maybe I could start a product around this idea of solar energy. I ended up taking a job in Paris for an architecture firm there, where we were working on a spa resort. And it was there that I got introduced to the world of fragrance. And it really, I've always enjoyed a candle, but, you know, Paris is sort of the hub for that. And I really started to think, what if the idea is as simple as a candle that helps provide solar energy? So, you know, similar to the Tom's model, light for light, if you will.
Okay, hey, that's a great idea. Sterling McDavid, who is the CEO and founder of the Stalling Project, who we're learning a little bit about her background. And now that we've got into the point where she kind of came across this idea of doing candles and linking that some way to solar energy. So tell us how you got it off the ground and what'd you do next?
Sure. So I called up UNICEF almost immediately. I do sit on the steering committee, which is essentially the junior board in New York. And I told the UNICEF team, I said, I have this very simple idea, but I think, you know, I think it's a great one. And they absolutely loved the idea. And I said, can I start looking at some of the solar energy projects that you guys are funding or that need to be funded, et cetera. And so, in a lot of ways, we sat there and collaborated until we found the right project. And then I went on to, of course, find the right manufacturer for me. And I looked for a few things in a manufacturer. I wanted an entirely U.S.-made product, mostly because although we are helping mostly overseas with solar energy, I wanted to be sure to simultaneously help U.S. business. So we manufacture in Brooklyn, and we use soy wax, a cotton wick, handmade glass, all made in the U.S., and then we, of course, source our essential oils from their natural environments, but we ensure no human trafficking in the process. So, you know, with a social good product, I wanted every single component to be well thought out, because I didn't want, you know, to be involved in anything negative. And so I proudly found the right partner for me and went on to launch the business, which was a great success from the start, mostly because there really wasn't a candle out there doing what I'm doing. And we launched around this time last year, actually, and have since donated over 100,000 to UNICEF so far. So we are very excited about everything we're doing. And the project, by the way, that we chose is in Chad in Africa. So with UNICEF, we donated the money to UNICEF, and we are working on a solar panel for a community of over 5,000 people who had all sorts of issues, from dying of preventable causes like cholera and diarrhea to having to trek 4 miles in one direction for clean water. And with that, and with the illnesses, et cetera, came lack of education and things like that. But putting this solar panel in, you're not only helping provide electricity, but you're also helping power pipes for clean water in the middle of the community.
So we're speaking with Sterling McDavid, who is the CEO and the founder of the Stalling Project. And so, Sterling, so the company is a couple of years old. Is that about how old it is?
A year, actually.
That's great. And so how many candles have you sold?
We have sold quite a lot. I would say we're somewhere around the 5,000 mark. And we sort of view ourselves as a Tom's model, where, you know, in some ways it's not as clear, but a pair of shoes for a pair of shoes. Okay. We like to think of it as, you know, a candle for solar energy for one person type thing.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit, give our listeners a little bit of sense, because I'm sure along the way you've picked up quite a bit of information about this. Give our listeners kind of a sense of the importance, the value, the possibilities, the opportunities for solar energy, solar panels. I think, you know, the typical, probably our typical listener says, oh yeah, those are the things on the top of buildings. I see them sometimes. I don't see a lot of them. I see some in some places. So give us a sense of the whole solar power, solar panel world and what's going on there.
Sure. So the solar world is extremely fascinating. Like I said, most people often think of it as just being for electricity, when in fact it can do so much more, such as power pipes for clean water. So we actually are currently looking at other opportunities for our future, and we've been shocked at what we've found along the way. So there's things like solar power panels as small as a Kindle that go on the back of a Kindle-like product that help power it to provide, you know, books for programs across the world in rural areas, which basically helps with, you know, preventing having to ship books across the world all the time, which is a pretty hefty task. So there's projects like that. There's small handheld devices that are solar powered. There's even bikes that you can ride to fill up your water bottle with a tiny solar power on panel on them. So we've been very fascinated by the whole world and the opportunities in it, especially, you know, their longer term lifespan. So the solar panel we're putting in Chad, for instance, can last 40 to 50 years with very little maintenance. And I certainly think that is incredible, because it's already doing so much for the community, but it's not a short-term solution.
So when we look at the couple of things, because I think I'm asking questions that our listeners have. So one of those solar panels, you know, and usually kind of when you see a building, you see a bunch of them, whether they're 5 or 10 of them together. But how much energy does one of those guys generate?
So it can be quite a lot. For instance, take the Chad project, and I'm using that because that's the project I've certainly had the most experience with. But it's quite a large panel. I believe it's somewhere around probably 30 feet by 20 feet, something like that.
Okay.
But it is powering electricity as well as pipes for clean water. For
you know, I think that's the size of a small studio apartment in New York.
Yes, very true, very true.
About 600 square feet.
It is very large, but you know, it's working its wonders for a community well over 5,000, and it has capacity to help a community of well over 10,000. So our hope is that once the preventable diseases sort of disappear, that the community will actually grow, and that solar panel will be able to help that community.
So let me make sure I'm getting this straight, and because I don't want to understand it better, so that one panel provides some or all of the electrical needs for that community of 5,000?
All of it, yes.
All of it? Wow. That is tremendous. And what's it cost to kind of build, install, buy one panel?
So it depends on the size of it, of course. So
well, your studio apartment panel.
Yes, so our studio apartment panel is probably, you know, roughly 70,000. Of course, when you're doing things like through a nonprofit organization like UNICEF, you are teaming up with companies who are willing to do these things at cost.
Right.
So, it is a hefty expense, but like I said, the beauty that comes with it is there's really no maintenance or very little maintenance over the period of decades.
That sounds incredible. That sounds good. Now, so let's get now to the thank you for your time on the show, but let's now get down to it. You've sold 5,000 candles already. So if I want to buy one of these candles for a Christmas gift this year, how do I go about doing it?
Absolutely. So you can visit our website. It is starlingproject.org, and you will see our scents as well as a little more about our story. And anyone can feel free to email us and if you have additional questions. But today I'd love to offer a 15% discount to your listeners as well. So
yay!
If you use the discount code Starling Loves You.
Okay.
Then we'll gladly offer 15% off.
That's great, and we're going to post that on our blog. We'll post it on our website, and that will be great. And what's are all the candles the same, or is there a variety of them, or is one?
So we have four scents, and we go through a hefty testing process. We have mixed over 150 scents in the past year. We do a lot of market testing, including standing on the corners in New York. And our goal overall is just to make sure nobody cringes. Of course, okay. Scent is subjective, but we believe that we've come up with a very curated, wonderful line of scent options that sort of appeal to most people.
And what's the price range? Are they all the same price? Are they big ones, little ones?
Yes. They are all $55, which is a hefty price point, but again, they're U.S. made, all handmade, poured in Brooklyn, and of course, they burn over 60 hours, which is one of the key points.
Okay, that sounds phenomenal. And what are the scents? Can you tell us what the scents are?
Absolutely. Sure. When we launched this time last year, we came out with two scents. So our original two scents are the juniper and saffron,
okay,
as well as the vanilla and hemlock. So the juniper is a sort of a sultry scent with a rich, deep saffron note, paired with delicate juniper. And the vanilla is for our vanilla lovers out there. It's subtle yet sophisticated, and the vanilla is married with the sharp hemlock for a smooth finish.
Are you sure you're not talking about a California Chardonnay?
I know, right? Sometimes it feels that way. I actually have had a few people compare our scents in terms of originality to the mixology movement, so we certainly have tried to be original. And our two newest scents are the orange flower and amber.
Okay.
So that scent is a little more fruity, if you will, of course, but it also has the warm notes of amber, which sort of make it a little different than your typical orange flower, I would say. And then one of our most popular scents, I would say, is the currant and rosewood. So this one is very fresh. I often hear people say the word fresh to describe it, as well as sweet in some ways. But yeah, we have four wonderful scents. They come in black and white colors, mostly because we are making a play on light. So,
and I assume you purchased them online?
Correct. So it's starlingproject.org.
Oh, that's great. And I assume they're all the if a listener goes there, there's all the instructions on how you pay and how you get it delivered, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. It's a very simple process. We also have PayPal as an option for many of the online customers who that can be, you know, a concern for. So,
Are you in any stores?
We are. So we are in Kerma Collective in New York, as well as Random Acts of Creativity.
Okay.
In addition to that, we are in the Standard Hotel in Miami, Pitkin County Dry Goods in Aspen, and Asby's in New Orleans.
Ah, well, that sounds great. Hey, Starling McDavid, thank you so much for being with us. And I think, you know, I have not done my Christmas shopping this year, but I think you just solved a lot of my problems. So
I love hearing that.
And that is great. And so when I, Tom, you have down the code we have to enter to get the discount.
Sir, yes.
And we're going to put it up on our website and our blog, and hopefully we drive a little bit of business your way.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for including me.
Great. Starling McDonald, the CEO and founder of the Starling Project. And it's basically a project which is light for light. So scented candles, high quality candles, that if you purchase one, the part of the profits go to funding solar energy, light, and electricity projects, primarily now in Chad, but maybe in the future in other places. So it's light for light. You can solve some of your Christmas shopping gifts by going to their website, which is the starlingproject.org. And if you go to our website, our Just Love blog, you will find it there. Thank you. And we're going to take a break now. And this is Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is Just Love. Just do it. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. Join us when we come back in just a few minutes on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love. I'm Antonia Kevin Sullivan. Just do it. Just love God, just love your neighbor, and just love yourself, and our world will be more just, and it will be more compassionate. You know, there's only a few weeks more to Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, and that means we're in the middle of the Christmas shopping season. And in fact, this is such a heavy shopping season that retail stores oftentimes estimate that maybe a third of their profit or their revenue from the year will be generated in this time of the year. And so with all of that concentration on sales and buying gifts and things of that nature, you know, we still on Just Love want to ask a question. Is there a way we can both participate in that and yet, you know, maybe think about doing some good in the world? And so today we're just delighted on Just Love that we're going to be speaking with Scott Talaman, who, along with his wife Jacqueline, founded State. Now, founding a state doesn't mean founding the United States, and it doesn't mean another country. But what it does mean is a Brooklyn-based social good company that makes men, women, and children's backpack. And because of the backpacks, when they're bought, there is a similar backpack that's filled with school supplies that's given to a child in need. So I am delighted that we have here in the studio with us today, Scott Talaman, who is the founder of that company. Scott, thanks for joining us on Just Love.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great. So give us give our listeners a little bit of background of yourself and your wife and, you know, how you got into this.
Sure. So State Bags is a Brooklyn-born one-for-one bag brand where for every bag we sell, we donate one to American kids living in situations of need. And the story behind State is actually my wife and I started a nonprofit summer camp 8 years ago, actually 9 years ago, for hundreds of kids growing up in really tough neighborhoods of Brooklyn, in the Bronx and all around New York City's toughest neighborhoods. Sent them to camp for a week, gave them the experience of a lifetime, and started to see this recurring, unfortunate theme of kids carrying their stuff in trash bags, ripped garbage bags or whatever it may be. And it just tore us up, and we wanted to do more. At the same time, we started seeing a lot of companies doing great work for kids overseas, but our focus was on kids right here in our own backyard, so we wanted to take that one-for-one model home to serve kids right here.
That is wonderful. You know, I have a great appreciation for the part of the story, your story, where you talked about a camp. Because when I, many, many years ago, when I was in college, I worked for the Fresh Air Fund.
Yeah.
And I worked for the Fresh Air Fund in Brooklyn. And in Brownsville, Brooklyn,
yeah,
which is a neighborhood for our listeners throughout the country, which is in, Brooklyn is a huge borough. It's like 2.5 million people. So kind of there are various different communities that were there. And Brownsville was a community that really had a lot of needs. There were a lot of struggling families, a lot of poverty in that neighborhood. And what my job was to identify families and kids who could use 2 weeks in the country, whether it be in a camp or with a family. And so I think that's just a wonderful thing. So Scott, thanks for you and your wife kind of doing that camp thing a number of years ago, because that's a really important way to have kids to kind of broaden their horizon and maybe kind of see things a little differently. And maybe it inspires them to move a little bit further ahead in their lives.
Yeah, we love it. It's just as meaningful and impactful for us and our family as it is the kids that come.
You're still
to camp.
Doing it now, the camp?
Yeah, we're in our ninth summer this upcoming year.
Do you actually run the camp?
Yep. We are co-directors.
What's the name of it?
It's called Camp Power.
And where's it located?
It's in Tyler Hill, Pennsylvania, held at Tyler Hill Camp.
Okay. And how many kids do you are you able to help there each summer?
200 kids. This summer we had about 203 kids, fifth graders all the way up to 10th graders, campers turned CITs, turned counselors, and that's been the dream.
And I assume, let me just make a guess, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. My guess is that probably you get some repeat kids who come back.
Oh man, a lot of repeat. It's that again, that's always been the goal, is kids wanting to come back. But at the same time, we want to open it up to kids who have never experienced it before. So we have like around a 60 to 70% return rate, which opens up a lot, you know, for new kids.
You know, I think, you know, there was a while going back many, many years where people said, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't take kids out of the city. You should improve their lives in the city. This is taking them away to someplace else. And, you know, they then have to go back to a more difficult environment. Quite frankly, I never thought those arguments were worth anything. Because
I agree.
Because, I mean, people need differences and they need a different experience. And then it forms their lives going forward.
Well, for us in this experience, it's not just about getting them out of their neighborhoods, which a lot of kids actually tell us they've actually never left the borough of Brooklyn, let alone New York City.
Right.
But it's surrounding them with positive role models who they otherwise never would have had contact with. So we have volunteer staff that are bankers, that are real estate lawyers, that are chefs, that come from all over the world, all over the city. And serve as counselors. So they live with these people throughout the week, and it just opens their eyes to a whole different world, and it gets them thinking, I can really beat the odds that are often stacked up against me. And that's the whole model that we built State on, is not just giving a backpack, which is very needed and essential to these kids, but to provide them with role models and positive messaging that get them thinking about beating those odds.
So, okay, let's now go to State. So,
yeah,
so I mean, you told me the background, and boy, for our listeners in different parts of the country, I'm sure you have similar stories that you can tell. But boy, I can verify what Scott's saying is true, that so often, you know, people who are struggling, who have low income, you know, maybe they can scrape together money and they can get the things that they need, but a suitcase or luggage or something like that, you know, the garbage bags oftentimes serve as those suitcases. And it's not just for people who are living on the streets. Oftentimes it's people who are in homes. They kind of use them because that's what they can afford. So tell us how State got started. I know the motivation, but tell us how you kind of got it off the ground and where it is now.
Yeah, so my wife and I had this camp, and we started seeing this theme. And, you know, like I said, the other companies that were serving kids overseas, and we just felt that there was not only a need here in the U.S., but we could really build a company based on that model, serving a lot of kids in need, while at the same time designing really beautiful, great product, which is all my wife. And I'm kind of on the charitable end.
Okay.
So what we're really proud of is that we are kind of evolving the one-for-one model. So we don't just show up at schools or nonprofits and just hand out backpacks, but we actually carry out these, what we call our bag drop rallies, that are led by our State pack men and pack women who have grown up in very similar situations, have successfully risen from those similar neighborhoods like Brownsville, East New York, Bed-Stuy, whatever it is, and get these kids motivated and get them to think about, you know, pursuing their dreams, staying in school, going to college, those basic things. And we make this bag drop experience so fun, so motivational, so lively, that they not only leave with a new tool for success and a fully packed backpack, but all of a sudden these new role models that, you know, have done it themselves and that they can look to in, you know, tough times, to say, he did it or she did it. So can I. He grew up in Brownsville. So do I. You know, so we're really proud of the fact that we've donated hundreds of thousands of backpacks across the U.S. through these bag drop rallies, through incredible partnerships with big names like Beyonce and Rock Nation celebrities, and this past summer, the White House. And we're just looking to do more. The more bags we can sell means more we can give.
So how long have you been in the backpack business?
So we started State just about 4 years ago.
Wow. And pretty successful.
Yeah, you know, we're grinding. It's a startup and, you know, we're hustling. That's
yeah.
for sure.
And you said, where do they get produced?
They're produced overseas right now.
Okay.
So that we can donate locally.
Right.
Yeah.
And so in the 4 years, how many backpacks have you sold, do you think?
I'll say hundreds of thousands.
Really?
Yeah.
And so therefore you've kind of distributed hundreds of thousands of backpacks.
Correct. Correct. And that's, you know, we're so, so proud of that. That's,
and do, and are most of them distributed in these, what do you call them, backpack drop-offs, or what do you call them?
Yeah. We, these bag drop rallies.
Okay.
So we've been across the country, all the way to LA, all down the East Coast. And a lot of times that's through partnerships that send us to those cities, or we just say, you know what? You know, Denver is an overlooked city. Like, there's a lot of tough neighborhoods in there, and they need help. So we'll just kind of head off over there.
And what do you do? Work with a school in the area or something, or another community organization or something?
Public schools, charter schools, homeless shelters,
right.
Nonprofit organizations.
Right.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal. Now, so we are in the Christmas shopping season.
Sure are.
Okay. So give a plug. How do we, if somebody's listening to this, they say, hey, I want to participate in this. I got to buy some Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
Backpack. So tell us actually about the backpack itself.
Sure. So what we really think makes us unique is that we have offerings for the men, for the women, and for the kids, which is great for holidays, obviously, for gifting and everything else. So we have a wide assortment of bags for everybody. Ton of backpacks. We branched out into tote bags. We have a bunch of accessories. We just launched a backpack that turns into a messenger bag, that turns into a briefcase, dob kits, whatever it is. And the prices range, obviously. If you're looking to spend over $200, we have that. If you're looking to spend $30, we have that too. And the beautiful thing, again, is that every bag we sell, a fully stocked backpack is donated to an American child in need. So you're not just gifting whoever you're gifting this holiday
right.
season. You're also gifting a local child in need.
And that is phenomenal. So tell our listeners how they can buy them. Are they in stores? Are they online? Are they both?
We're sold in a variety of big retailers, but mainly sold through our website. So that's just statebags.com.
And they go on, and if they were to order now, can they get them for Christmas?
Absolutely. We offer expedited shipping. If you spend over $100, you get free shipping. We got a bunch of stuff going on, for sure.
Now, do you work, you talked about you kind of work with the companies. Sometimes when people do these things, do you partner with any other groups that they use them kind of to, for their promotional stuff?
So we've worked with a variety of retailers. We've worked with brands like Roc Nation, as
right.
I said, where we'll find different ways to partner so that we can either sell a lot of bags, which
right.
then in turn gives a lot of bags. A couple of years ago, we worked with American Eagle, sold basically to every store across the U.S. and some in Canada, which enabled us to donate over 30,000 backpacks during back-to-school season. Similar situation this summer with Roc Nation in the White House, and similar situation a couple of years ago with Beyonce's foundation. But, you know, what's been great is partners come to us because they see that we not only have great product, but in the end, they can really make an impact locally. And a lot of times we'll steer them where they would like to donate. So if they are tied to an organization or a school mm-hmm. in, you know, Chicago, whatever it is, we'll head there and donate.
Where do you see State going in the next couple of years?
You know, we would love to be we'd love to be synonymous with backpacks. You know, we are your backpack of choice. We obviously offer a wide array of bags, but we think we're building something really special, you know, as a brand across the board, from our give back component to our beautifully designed product. And we're on a good path. We're on our way. To be a household name within the year across the country is our goal, and I think we're pretty close.
Now, how'd you come up with State?
So we wanted to play off a couple things. First off, we're benefiting kids of the United States. And we like the notion that a child on the Upper East Side or a child in East New York, Brooklyn, could carry our bags, and it kind of gets them thinking about a new state of mind, and that
okay.
purchases can make a difference, and that what you carry actually can impact kids locally. And so the state of mind thing is what we really liked, and we built off that.
Now, can you for our listeners, from your years at the camp or some of the, what do we call them, bag drop rallies?
Yep.
Is there anybody at the camp, maybe more than the bag drop rallies, who kind of you recall was really impacted and their state of mind was changed? You got a story you could share with our listeners?
Yeah. When we were first starting, we've kind of evolved the program, the actual bag drop program, quite a bit. But when we first started, we had a program called What's in Your Bag, where our pack men and pack women shared things that they carry in their bag that have helped them in their journey get to where they are today. And we used to ask kids to share some stories as well. And we asked them something that you carry in your bag that sheds a light on who you are and your journey in life, even as a 10-year-old kid. And a lot of these kids that in the neighborhoods we serve are growing up really fast. And 10-year-olds are actually mentally like 15-year-olds because they're taking care of their younger siblings and, you know, acting as the man of the house sometimes or woman of the house. So one child I remember pulled out like a little toy, like a 50-cent toy or whatever it was. And he said that he carried it around with him all the time, every day, to remind him that although they don't have much, his mom works really hard and bought him that toy to make him happy just because she loves him so much. And it was just, it always reminds him that, you know, although they may not necessarily have everything they need material wise, he's surrounded by love. And that was kind of the moment when Jacqueline and I looked at each other and we were like, man, this is really happening, and these kids are getting it, and you see it in their eyes throughout the program where they're watching our pack men and pack women, and they're dancing and they're laughing and they're just like looking at them with amazement. And I just love sitting off to the side watching that every single bag drive rally.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Scott, thank you so much. Scott Tadelman and his wife, Jacqueline, they are the founders of State, which is going to become the name in backpacks.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, I heard it here on Just Love. And basically, it's a simple deal. You know, you buy a backpack and they donate a backpack to a child someplace across the United States. And that's what it simply is. And they go and they drop them off and they kind of try to use it to change a state of mind which might not see too much of a future, but to a state of mind which sees opportunities, possibilities for them, for themselves going forward. So, Scott, thank you so much for being with us. And please, thank your wife, Jacqueline, for doing it. Thanks for what you're doing. Give our listeners once more a shout-out to the website and how they can go and they can purchase a backpack.
We'd love to. So it's just statebags, statebags.com. You can follow us on Instagram at StateBags as well. Hashtag give backpack. That's our slogan.
Great. Scott Tadelman, the founder of State Backpacks, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, we're going to take a break and we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Just Love, Just Do It. Just love God, just love your neighbor, and just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. We'll be back in just 2 minutes on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love. Just do it. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and more compassionate. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, the host of Just Love. And, you know, this is a busy time of the year. We're preparing for the birth of Jesus. But as we do so, we do it in the midst of a world which is also preparing for Christmas by shopping. And so today we were really lucky to have two wonderful guests who have given us ways where we can both shop and buy the Christmas gifts that we want to for our friends, our families, our loved ones, but also think about how we make our world a better place. And you know, the two gifts that we were talking with our guests about, one when we were talking with Sterling McDavid and speaking with her about her project, which is a solar energy project. And then when we were speaking with Scott Tadelman, who is a backpack project of State, you know, in a certain way, both of those fit really, really well into our Just Love show and our themes, because we try to look at the world through the prism of our Catholic social thought and how we think about it. So when we look at that Sterling project about how, or the Sterling project, and we realize it's candles for candles. So one of the things we realize is that solar panels are a very ecologically friendly way to get energy. And certainly the most recent writings of Pope Francis, in which he has kind of reminded us of the importance of our Mother Earth, that, you know, this is a good way to reinforce some of the value of trying to use energy that is renewable, energy that is not going to kind of deplete the resources that we have in the world. So this project, the Sterling project, in which, you know, through the purchase of candles, money is generated that can help solar panels and solar energy, you know, fits very much into one of the themes of our Catholic social thought. The other project, the backpack project of State with Scott and Jacqueline Tadelman, focuses on children and giving children a future, giving children a good opportunity to grow into adulthood. And clearly, again, another major, major focus of our Catholic social thought is that those who do not have enough should be helped in order that they can have a better future. And when you deal with children, you're looking to create a situation in which their future lives are more hopeful, they can fulfill more of their potential. And as Scott pointed out, sometimes the basic necessities are not available to poorer children. And so this project of a backpack for a backpack is a really great way to kind of move forward in that. So I'm delighted in this Christmas season we gave our listeners an opportunity to think about how in doing their Christmas shopping that they can maybe figure out a way to also help in our world. And I have to say, quite frankly, who can't figure out somebody to give a candle to? A candle is a really kind of universal gift that one could give. And so look up that website of the Sterling project for that. And who doesn't have nieces, nephews, children, neighbors who couldn't use a backpack? So look up State and see if maybe there isn't something there that you'd like to give as a holiday gift. So Tom, is there any news that we have before we...
You know, there is, Monsieur. There's one story that did get a lot of coverage, but I think last week. But I think it's pretty important. You may remember, Monsignor, back in 1986, there was that terrible disaster in the Ukraine at Chernobyl when there was a reactor that went terribly wrong and there was terrible nuclear energy coming out of it. Well, last week, an enormous steel arch that basically looked like a giant plane hangar was put into place over the remains of that reactor in order to be able to contain some of the nuclear fallout that was coming out of it. It was basically designed to withstand extreme temperatures, tornado and corrosion for at least a century. And it was built far from where the reactor was, but it was moved in. And the thing that I think was most incredible at this is the tremendous international cooperation that was required for this. About $1.5 billion in financing was arranged by the European Bank. with donations from the United States, the European Union, and other 30 other nations. It was built in France by a French consortium where workers came from many other places. And it's interesting because it shows, I think, what humanity can do in the face of a terrible danger that really no one country could manage. Certainly the Ukraine couldn't. And I think it's worth celebrating that this was put into place last Wednesday to not much fanfare, but it shows when countries work together what good can be done.
Oh, good. That's Tom. It's good to talk about international cooperation. It's a pretty important factor. And that, you know, it is another indication that we do live in a world in which there is a global economy. And our notion of solidarity kind of indicates that while nation states are still critically important, that there is an international order that is also needed to be paid attention to. And the economy is, you know, far more global than it has been any time in the past. So, you know, and so I think as we kind of continue this season of Advent, the preparation for Christmas, you know, today I think we heard some real good examples in some of our news notes and in the guests we had that there is the possibility of hope. There is the possibility of doing good in our world. And rightly, there is a lot to be pessimistic about. The news reports indicate the ongoing situation of violence. We've heard again and again about some of the persecution of Christians in the Middle East, and some of that has again come to the fore with the retaking of parts of Iraq, particularly the city of Mosul, from ISIS, and some of the fear and some of the danger that Christians had and do have there. So our world is not a place in which it is all calm, in which it is all peace. Far from that. But as we prepare for Advent, you know, we think about what's going wrong in our world and we realize and we focus on Jesus, who is a source of light, a source of peace, and a source of hope. But as we do so during the Advent season, you know, we just don't look and we just don't wait. As John the Baptist said, you know, repent and believe. Repent, change your ways, so that part of our hopefulness is ourself kind of looking at some of those things that maybe we need to change in our own lives so that we become instruments of that hope with our families, with our friends, with our neighbors. You know, sometimes we focus globally. Clearly in the United States, we focused on the politics of the past year and elections, and we care about tremendously what is going to happen in the administration of the new president. But there is also the level of our families, our friends, our businesses, where we can make a tremendous impact. So thank you for being with us on Just Love, and just do it. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself. Our world will be more just and more compassionate. Continue this Advent season of hope and join us again next week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Listening to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.